This morning, as we go into the message, I put a title up there, Yards After the Catch. Some of you will understand that. Others, no, pastor just lost it. But that's a term that's used in football, that when you throw the ball to a receiver, once they catch it, how many yards they get from that point on. If the ball's thrown 30 yards and they catch it and then they run for another 20, then they got 20 yards after the catch. As I thought and I prayed this week, as I prepared this message, I wonder how many yards after the catch I get. We're going to be in a passage you've already read this morning. It was a passage that was on the board. We're going to be in James chapter 1, verse 21. We did not know. I did not know that was going to be Stephanie's passage that she put up. She didn't know that it was going to be the message that I was going to be preaching on. God is amazing. He lines up things so many times that we don't see. And today, this is what He has for us. I believe it's obvious. So if you would, read with me. It's in James chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you now, and we know that any time we open your word, Lord, that if our hearts are right, you'll speak to us. So I pray right now, Lord, my heart's right. I pray that you would be able to speak to me and through me and in spite of me today. Lord, help us to understand what it is you have for us. Lord, that we might honor you. God, help us to be better for you. For Lord, it's all about you. In your name we pray. Amen. Yards after the catch, it fits. Let's look at this passage. One of the first things it says to do, therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. Well, we came to church. I got my shirt out last night. I ironed it. I picked out my tie. I even picked out my socks that would match. I was prepared physically, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I come up here in a shirt and a tie, or if I come up here dressed some other way. That doesn't matter. What God wants me to do when I come into His Word, when I have an opportunity to hear His Word, He wants me to do exactly what it says, to lay aside all the filthiness. Well, Pastor, surely we are good people. We are good Christian people. So there's surely not filthiness and the overflow of wickedness in our lives. Yes, there is. And until you and I admit it, we're in trouble. There are things in our life that keep us from hearing and keep us from receiving the Word of God. It's different for you than it is for me. But I heard somebody a couple weeks ago, or I read it a couple weeks ago. It says, either the Bible keeps you from sin, or sin keeps you from the Bible. Think about that for a moment. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. The filthiness that's in our lives, well, it was just a little white lie, or it was just a bad attitude for just a little bit, or I never really acted on that thought. The bottom line is we have to understand and see that our sin, no matter how small you think it might be, it is wickedness in the sight of God. And until I admit that to myself, I'm going to assume it's okay. I used this analogy once before, a year or two ago, that my glasses, when they gradually get dirty, I don't notice. And then the next thing I know, my wife's saying, "You need to clean your glasses." Because it was just a little bit of smudge to start with. And I let it go. We need to understand that that small thing that we think is a sin, it's just a smudge on my Christianity. That smudge cost Jesus Christ his life. Sin nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And until we understand that our sin is what did that, we will just see it as a smudge that we can live with. And when it gets bad enough, I'll take it to God. But what happens is we don't until it's too late, until it's done something. And what it does is it keeps us, that filthiness that's in our life, that overflow of wickedness that's in our life, is seen by other people. Maybe we don't see it, but it affects how we live. It affects our relationship with God. It begins to build up a wall. It's filthy. If you go to clean something, and like we cleaned up our grill last, well, my wife cleaned up our grill last night. I will be honest with you. I cleaned one section, and she cleaned the other four. So that was pretty close. But when we were done, that water was nasty. And it was grease water that came off of a smoker that just rolled down into the sink. And it was so disgusting. But where did it come from? Off of the same food that I ate. But over time, it began to get disgusting. Till we see our sin like that, we will just live with it. We have to lay aside that filthiness. Well, I've talked to a lot of people that said, "Pastor, I'll come to church," or, "Steve, I'll come to church when I get my life right." You will never come to church if you think you can get your life right apart from God. It will not happen. So how does this verse here say, lay aside all filthiness? The Bible tells us if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to admit it. We have to confess it to Him. And He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now to my yards after catch. We've got some receivers in the house. We've got some linemen in the house. We have football players in the house, coaches in the house that know what I'm talking about. But you will understand as we look at this. The first thing that wide receiver's got to do is shake the defender. You see it all the time on TV where they'll do a bump coverage. They'll get right up on his face and they'll bump him, try to shake him off to keep him from getting into the route that he's supposed to run. That's your sin. Your sin is right up in your face, doing a bump coverage, trying to knock you off of the course that God has for you. And until you get rid of that defender, that sin that's in your life, you will never be able to run the route that God has for you. "But I'm good enough, I can get by." No, you're not. We have to get rid of that sin that so easily entangles us, that here is called filthiness and an overflow of wickedness in the life of a Christian. Well, once we lay aside that filthiness, then what? It says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We need to understand that we have to receive God's word with meekness, with humility, with understanding to know the power of that word. Well, I come in and I listen to the word every Sunday. Or I go to a Bible study and I hear God's word. And it's that understanding that once a week is enough. Coach Rader doesn't have his receivers catch a ball once a week. So why do you think receiving the word is going to happen once a week? We need to prepare ourselves mentally, spiritually, to come into this place and receive the word of God. Now, don't think you're going to get it from me. I'm going to preach what God lays on my heart, but don't think you're going to get God's word from me. You've got to get it from Him. So you can prepare at home what you need to receive when you get here. We need to prepare to receive the same way that receiver goes through a route drill, a route tree. They've got to go through this and practice catching the ball, whether the sun's in their eyes or whether it's over the shoulder, whether it's a back shoulder fade, whatever you want it to be, you need to be prepared to receive it. Because there's a lot of times when we're not prepared to receive it, we're not going to. We're going to walk out of here the same way we walked in. But God wants us to prepare ourselves with meekness to receive the word that's implanted in us. And I think the reason we don't is we leave off the last part of this phrase, which is able to save your souls. Do you understand the power that the word of God has? It has the power to save your soul. Well, I'm already saved, Pastor. Okay, then it has the power to change your life. It has the power to save someone else's soul if you will share it. We have to see it as not just words in a book that was written by 40 different authors over a long span of time. But it's the powerful word of God that can save a soul when it's received. But we don't need to receive it because we've already caught it. Once we receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I'm supposed to take that word of God that I've received and do something with it. That receiver, he runs a 15-round button hook, turns around back to the quarterback, catches the ball, and he just stands there. Done my job. I caught it. No. You catch the ball and then you go yards after the catch. When you received the word of God that was implanted in you that saved your soul, how many yards after the catch do you have? We are to be doers of the word. For a long time, I thought this just said, you're supposed to do the word. No. You don't just do the word, you're to be a doer of the word. That means your life should be characterized by someone else as they see you as someone who is doing constantly the word of God. You are a doer of the word. It's not just you do it every now and then. It's not just you do it a couple times a week. You are a doer of the word. It is something that characterizes your life. Do people look at us and say, well, he's a good guy. She is so nice. They're good Christian people. They're good religious people. Or do they say, man, I see them doing the word of God. I see them living the word of God. It's supposed to characterize our life. We are supposed to be doers and not hearers only. We're supposed to catch, receive it, and do something with it. Because if anyone is just a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man with his natural face. He sees it in a mirror and he observes himself and goes away immediately and forgets what kind of man he was. If I'm going to go into my bathroom and I look and I've got this smudge of black from working on the grill on my face, I was like, man, I need to wash that off. Then I get distracted and I go do something else, and before you know it, I'm in my car, I'm headed to town, and what's on my face? That black smudge. I saw it when I was in the mirror, but I did nothing with it, and so I forgot. Well, I came to church and I heard the word of God, and I thought, that's good. I need to apply that. And the next thing you know, it's Thursday afternoon, and you think, what was last week's message? What did I learn this week in my Bible study? Never been applied, because you didn't apply it fast enough. You didn't apply it immediately, and so you forgot it. He calls us to be doers of the word, because if you don't, you're deceiving yourself. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Man, sometimes people think, Satan really deceived me. No, he didn't. You're deceiving yourself. If you're sitting here thinking that you can just hear this word preached and you can go on and you'll be okay without applying it to your life every single day, then you're deceiving yourself. We're not to deceive ourselves. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed. God calls us to do those things. To lay aside filthiness, to receive the word of God, to be a doer of the word, and to continue in it in order to be blessed. Well, I do it occasionally. Well, do you want to be occasionally blessed? No, I want to be blessed all the time. Then do it all the time. It's a double standard if I think I can do His Word 2 or 3 days a week and expect to be blessed every day of the week. But that's what we do. As Christians, we have to do these things. Receive His Word with meekness. And this week, you will have yards after the catch. Now, I know there are people in here probably that have no idea what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You never made that first initial catch because of the filthiness that's in our lives. And we all have it. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm not broken and I'm not a sinner. I am. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. But if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you've never accepted the fact that He died on the cross, like we talked about this morning, for you, then you'll never receive the blessings. Because the blessings come after the yards after the catch. And the catch only comes when you're ready to receive it. And you'll only receive it when you ask God to forgive you of your sins and lay aside that filthiness. Where are you at this morning? I don't know. The person beside you doesn't know. Maybe you're in a good spot. continue in it and be blessed. But share that word of God that has the power to save souls, because there's other souls out there beside you that do not know Him. And they need you to come alongside them and share with them that powerful word of God. You've got that option this week to get yards after the catch. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, today you have the opportunity to make that first catch, to receive the grace of God through the love of Jesus. But it takes faith. Where you're at, it's between you and Him. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And at that point, maybe you've accepted Christ, but you've never followed Him in baptism. Well, it really doesn't matter. Well, Jesus thought it did. Maybe you need to join Him, follow Him in baptism. Maybe you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you need to say, hey, I've fumbled a lot of passes. Maybe I'm not getting the yards after catch. Whatever you got to talk to, I'll be here if you want to talk to me, but you need to talk to Him. That's where we're at today, is trying to make sure that this Scripture applies to us. And the only way that's going to happen is you talk to Him. I will pray with you, I'll talk to you, but you need to talk to Him. I'm a messed up man. But He is a perfect, holy God. And He's the one that sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He's the one you need to talk to. We're going to have a chance to do that. You always have a chance to do that, but we're going to have a time of invitation where if you want to come forward, these altars, these stairs, this front pew, wherever you want to kneel before Him and let Him know where you're at. He knows, but sometimes He wants you to acknowledge where you're at. Then you'll have that opportunity. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank You for Your word. Lord, each time we open it, You have something for us. Lord, may we understand. May we apply it. May we be doers. God, help us to love You more. Help us to seek to follow You. Help us to be what You desire us to be. As we come before You, may we kneel before Your throne. In Your name we pray. Amen.